Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
So we've rejigged it a little bit. So welcome to Red News Podcast 239. So this will be the emergency pod, and the last one, 238, was West Ham. So listen to both if you can, but we've split them rather than what we say on the pod. And take care of yourselves, Reds.
Hello, everyone. We've done this dance before, and it's an emergency pod. So I'm going to add the West Ham one that we did. I wouldn't say little known, because we knew what was coming. Nathan sort of got it to the pretty much to the time, the hour. So I'm going to add the West Ham bit we did, but obviously we're going to speak about today. I hate Mondays at the best of time, and I'll admit I've got the right fucking hump. Not because it had to happen, but I just feel... I felt sad. I felt, even though we knew it was coming, even though I'm not surprised, I felt a bit shocked still when it came. Because maybe it was a very Erik ten Hag way, but it was just done. You know, there was no emotion. It's just done. He's gone. You know, there wasn't like, oh, Erik's in his way to emergency meetings and sometimes you have it floundering for days. He's just gone. So it just felt really sad. Like, my missus bumped into an ABU and he said, is Barney happy today? No, I just take no joy in it. It's not like a Jose, you know, didn't really gel with him. I just invested so much into it. I wish him well. I'll fucking mirror parrot what I've been saying all season. Thank fuck we won the FA Cup, because the joyless period we'd have had without it. And why didn't he get a striker? So I'm pissed off. In the United world, Sky Sports News have dipped in and out all day. It seems like they've treated it like a state funeral. That they've just... No one else exists in sport. It's just been United, United, United. So we're salivating the media. But I will admit also, a little bit excitement. The betrayal world of football that suddenly... And it would be very un-United way to just get their man straight away. The Scousers were after him, the Rubin, Amorim. I do get a bit excited about it. That's the way. See you later, Erik. You know, you move on. But I just felt, yeah, I just didn't. There's been an inevitability. It should have been the last international break. It had to happen. I think we're all going to pretty much echo, maybe Shane, maybe not, but... And there's just a joyless experience, you know, like for all you wish him well, he seemed a thoroughly decent man. He really tried. I mean, he obviously worked his bollocks off, but some of the comments from the ex-players, which of course they're going to do because they're petty bastards, but he didn't have, you know, there was just no joy around it. And we kept saying, change, Erik. And he didn't and he wouldn't. And ultimately, I'm sure there'll be a rant about how West Ham did it in for him. And I've not watched it back. I've not seen the penalty incident back. I couldn't bear to see the Delow miss. But, you know, you're clinging on excuses. And that's what we had. That's all moments and excuses. I will say what's pissed me off as well is I took photos because I know it had a Watford feel to it. And he was almost waving. And the players, and Bruno was nearly in tears at the final whistle. Not many had stayed, so I took some photos, which I'll have in the next mag, just to record it as a historical thing. But Delow was doing his staring, and it pissed me off last night. It's pissed me off today. He was doing his staring out at the crowd again. So there's issues we can debate till the kingdom come. Is this squad better than he has it? Or there's a part of me that thought about 2 o'clock when I digested the news, God, get a tune out of this. They are better than this, but how much better? An overriding thing is Manchester United eats players and managers. And of course, I think Gary Neville said, you know, there's something systematically wrong at this club, which you hope Ineos, huge call now, they've got to get this one right, have been trying to fix. And I get that, you know, the Glazers are symbolic of everything that's gone wrong with United, but equally, from the 70s, 80s. It eats players and managers. It's just too big for some people. And ultimately, that's what it was. But go on, Erik. Prove us wrong, and I hope you win fucking shitloads as long as it's not a club that affects us. Hello, Nathan.
Hello. Yeah, it's... Well, But I think, well, I was going to say the funny thing is yesterday, obviously, our game wasn't on telly, was it? And I didn't, I tried for the first 15 minutes to try and find a stream to, I don't know if you can say that, you know, illegal, I don't know. I tried finding a way of watching it and gave up because I was like, you know what, I can't be fussed to try and find something. I listened to it. I had it on the radio whilst I think it was it Chelsea that were on at the same time. I had that on, but I had no interest in it. Like, I know that, you know, I just knew that we weren't going to win because I think is that we third time in a row that we've lost at West Ham. Is it? I think you know it's, but we just can't win games. We just couldn't win games. And you know, we all knew it was going to happen, and as soon as they took the lead, the first time round, I literally put in our group, didn't I? I was like, "Yes, Barney, I'll be available tomorrow night to do the podcast," because we knew, and you know, but that was the thing. We sort of scheduled to do one of these 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't we?
Mm.
Before, you know, after the last time that, you know, well, it wasn't even the last time we lost, but when we last thought that it was going to be inevitable. It, you know, it's, you know, like I've said everything that needs to be said, hasn't it? Like, I still would have done it at the end, straight after the FA Cup final. I'd have said, thank you very much. Maybe here's a little bonus, but cheers, see you later. And the time, like, I know people are saying about the timing of doing it now, but it needed to be done. And, like, the only confusing thing of timing is why is it taking so long? Like, just the money that was spent in the summer again that's been spent on players that, like, who's in charge of that, of signing these players? And the only concern is whoever's going to come in now are going to turn around and be like, who the fuck are these? Who are these players? And that's my only concern, really. Well, not my only concern, but is they should have done it at the beginning of the summer and given it to a new person to say, right, who are you interested in signing? And because they've spent however much more money on players that are probably going to, the next manager is probably not going to be interested in. But yeah, it's, like I say, we've said everything that needs to be said, really.
How did you feel on the nose?
We've not. You could count the good performances we've had, even since we won the League Cup, on one hand, probably. Do you know, we've been bad for a long, long time, so it needed to happen. And how did I feel? I don't think I really even reacted to it because I think we all knew what was coming. There was no shock there, was there? You know, so it's like it just needed to happen.
I will. I'm sure we'll get a bounce, which is what I think Shane alluded to in the bit that you'll hear later on, which will sort of, we'll forget about it. It won't, because that's what we do, we get giddy, but it'll piss me off as well. You know, I think it was Steve Armstrong, when, you know, you'll see the players are smiling back again, and that sort of pissed me off. But just on, it'll be very United way. It goes tits up in the next 24 hours, but I've just done some immediate research on Amorim. Because obviously I knew his life before David Ornstein tweeted we were getting him. But obviously he's won shitloads as a player. He's won well, won the title last year in Portugal. Sporting fans like him. He likes 3-4-3. Played at 2 World Cups, retired at 32. But Bruno and Nathan put in the group, and then I went looking for it in March 2024. Bruno said of him, if he really takes the next step, I hope he stays at Sporting. But if he takes the next step, I think all the qualities are there to be able to succeed in English, French or Spanish football. Obviously, we know that the Premier League is probably the most desired. The qualities are there, and he has everything to take the next step in my direction. In my opinion, sorry, but it will depend on the clubs, the directors, whether they want to pay the Sporting's release clause or not. There are many components to this, but I think he is prepared for the next leap. So we know the captain's going to be happy, so just apropos nothing. Nick, hello.
Hiya. Eric's just a massive paradox, isn't he, really? And you know, I didn't want him to go. I still stand by that now. But I get why people do. It was getting harder and harder to argue against it. You know, things obviously aren't going well when you sack a manager, so I think your initial reaction's got to be disappointment to it. I don't really know where we go from here. I think we tried all the variety of managers that we possibly could have done throughout the last 10 years. You know, we've had club legends, we've had Jose, sporting directors like Ralph have come in, and I just don't know anymore what the answer is. If you're not going to try and stick with something for a fair few years and really try and see out what that is, then I don't know where you go from there. And, you know, I feel for Eric. I don't think he's helped himself as well. You know, but we've always said that he's had a lot to deal with, you know, Ronaldo, Sancho, Greenwood, the takeover, stripping Maguire of captain. And, you know, yes, some of them have been of his own making, and you can question how well he is at dealing with players. And then, you know, sometimes you think, well, he's actually had a lot to deal with at the same time. And I just don't know where I'm at with Eric, and I don't get the timing of it. You know, you said yourself that it probably should have been the international break, and that would have made more sense. I know we lost yesterday, and to leave on that one was quite sewn up, because I thought we played really, really well. I thought we should have scored more goals, we should have been out of sight at half time, and we weren't. And I don't think that was a penalty yesterday. I know it's a lot more than yesterday, but it just seemed a bit strange like that. You know, he's been unlucky all season, and when it rains, it pours. You know, you look at the Brighton game, the offside goal was ridiculous, and we played really well at Palace and just couldn't score. Should have beaten Banabachi as well at times, and, you know, again, yesterday, not a penalty and stuff. But the reality is, you're 14th in the league, you've scored the third lowest goals in the league, you're 21st in the Europa, and that's just not good enough. And it's strange because bar Liverpool and Spurs this season, and probably Porto, I suppose, as well, the defence has been quite good. It seems like it's been a lot better. I feel like there has been something we could hang on, you know, in two of those games where we conceded three goals, we were playing with 10 men. So, you know, I don't really know how I feel about it. I think that this sacking really poses more questions than answers. Why give him a new contract in the summer if he wasn't your guy? You know, he had 1 year left on his deal. Use it to prove it, Neil. So, look, if you want to be here, then prove it. It just seemed odd. Then why go ahead and back him? Why get De Ligt, get Xerxes, get Mazraoui? And they're all guys.
To be fair, Nick, it was a contract extension, so I sort of see that, because it sort of gave for tactile support, but also not doing a new deal. So I sort of got that. I get the signing. I mean, the Xerxes one is going to perplex. God help me, that's got to be miracle working territory now on any manager. But that is bizarre. That's just baffling. But you know, you're defensive him, Nick. Do you really think you've seen improvement? You know, like I said, like looking for it, needle in a haystack, but do you really think?
I think defensively we've seen an improvement, but that's from a low bar from last season. You know, we're still dead easy to play against, and we don't score enough goals. And, you know, since Rashford had that, you know, great goal scoring season 2 years ago, he's dried up and nobody else looks like they can score. And it's a concern that position's not been addressed, and we've done that. You know, I think this is a real test for Ineos, though. You know, now, I mean, everything's massively changed, hasn't it, from the past 4 months, from Eric's our guy and here's your contract extension, to 4 months later he's clearing his desk out, you know. And okay, it looks like it might be Anarim that's going to come in, and I have no idea about him. But, you know, even he doesn't fill me with great confidence. You know, he was rejected by Liverpool. They decided they wanted to go elsewhere. He would end up interviewing at West Ham and then cancelled on them. It's like, well, fucking hell, sign me up for another prescription diazepam. To me, it's going to be a rough ride with him as well. I don't see what the difference is by bringing him in, apart from his work with Ugarte before and Bruno likes him. It's like, well, that bodes well for nothing. So, you know, Ineos have got a lot wrong. We've called them out for a variety of different things on here. But their first appointment as a manager under their ownership still remains as Eric, by choosing to keep him on. By shopping around for other managers, Tuchel, whatever, they kept him on. That is still their first appointment. And that's gone tits up in this regard for it. So, you know, I'm just glad it's not Southgate. But, I mean, like you said, ultimately, I guess with Eric, it's thanks for the memory. You know, the Liverpool 4-3 was the best day I've had at Old Trafford in over a decade, certainly post-Fergie. And the City Cup final was one of the all-time great days of following this wonderful football club. And that's even without mentioning beating the Journeys with their flag waving and the Trafalgar Square picking or whatever they were doing. You know, two trophies is a great achievement, and that's how it, to me, should be remembered. But I just feel that if we do have a good number nine, and I know we don't, but if we do have a really good number nine, a reliable one that's putting in there, I think that this team right now is in the best possible shape for a new manager to take over. You know, it's not taking over it from where Eric took over from. It's not taking over it from, you know, the miserableness of how Ole took over it after Jose. I think there is something to build on here. And, you know, now Eric's gone, we can get Sancho back. Things can only get better with Jadon Sancho.
But it's, you know, fucking hell, we mentioned this repeatedly on the pod from the game. It's just like a striker gets four or five goals already. A Tony gets you that. But I'm just repeating and repeating and repeating. There'll be theses written on how the club, that Eric's era was on the ascendancy, Barcelona, Newcastle, we felt like something was really happening. And how it went tits up. And what amazed me on some of the things is the stats. Is because of the recent period. Obviously, we've had a dreadful calendar year in the league. But his win ratio, and sorry to bring up stats, but his win ratio is low. We've lost so many more games than even drawn. So he didn't know how to claw back. And they're fleeting moments. Liverpool, you know, the cup final, majestic days we'll remember for a long time. So thanks for that, Eric. But ultimately, he was a very brittle manager, team. You know, like he looked desperate yesterday on the touchline. And the one thing, like, at the end when I took the photos, he waved. And there wasn't abuse to him. There was to Delow, but there wasn't abuse to him. He got a clap. And I thought, we have shown a decency, you know, like, it hadn't turned. I'm sure it would have. They had to do it, Nick. You know, like, for all, I get what you're saying, but if this carried on, it would get toxic. There comes a point, you know, you're 21st in the Europa, you're 14th in the league. Hello, Shane. I'll come back to you, Nick and Nathan, later, but Shane?
Yeah. Hello again. Seems like only no time at all we were supping consolation pints last night. So, yeah, I think, like, some of it's been covered, so I'll try to be quick, really, because obviously we covered yesterday's game in the pub after, which you'll sort of share after this. But I do agree with Nick in a way that, like, this is going to come out a bit contradictory, because I was one that, you know, said he shouldn't be sacked in the summer. He should be given more time under the regime. But I do think it looks, you know, that doesn't reflect massively well on Ineos. Their first call is to extend his contract. And then, you know, barely 2 or 3 months later, he's getting the sack. You know, and there's a cost to that as well. You know, when they're getting rid of rank and file staff, and he's going to walk away with a healthy bundle, a few million quid for that. So that grates a little bit for me. I didn't really want to see him sacked, but I could see it was inevitable. It was definitely, like you were right, called it yesterday. It was inevitable yesterday, I think. It was probably inevitable after Spurs at home, if I'm being honest. But I hope they get this. Like, some of the notes I've written are already redundant, because I was, like, doubting whether Ineos were going to, you know, would they be decisive enough? Would they get the right person? Are we going to have this lingering interim thing? I've talked about the new manager balance in the next bit, so I won't repeat that, but it will great if that happens for me. But it looks like they're going to get someone in quick. But I still maintain, and this, as Nick said, it'll be a big test for them, that I'm quite confused about what Man United is now. Is it, as I said in a couple of pods ago, is it like we want a big name manager who can handle a big dressing room, or is it someone's come in and develop younger players, and we're kind of operating at that level below City and even possibly Arsenal, Liverpool, where we're sort of buying up prospects and we want a manager to get more of the sum of the parts in the meantime. So I don't know what type of manager he is, but he's clearly going to have to work under the sort of Ineos regime, which I would have thought someone like Tuchel, they sort of flirted with, wouldn't have tolerated that. I would imagine he'd want to have more say on stuff than they're probably giving the next manager under this regime. So I've got a few concerns about Ineos. I was reading today about, like, the cycling sort of team, and Jared Thomas was saying, you know, how under Brailsford in the predecessor teams, like Sky, like it was so crystal clear that Brailsford was in the lead, and it was like, you might not like the decisions, but it was quick, direct, there was one boss. And now under Ineos, it's quite indecisive and it's all by committee. It takes a long time to get consensus on stuff. And that's a bit of a concern to me. But he comes with, you know, a lot of the media saying, I don't know enough about him, that Amorim would be a big coup for United. So time will tell on that. My last point really, well, the second to last point is that I didn't think it felt the same as, say, a Watford. I felt inevitable that, like, he was going to go after last night. But the basket case of United is that at the moment is that actually, whereas players, to my eye, clearly down tools for Mourinho and Ole, like, they're kind of like, one minute I'm watching United and think, oh, the players, they're not playing for him. But then they're actually clearly trying in spells in games. They have little spells where it looks like they grind, you know, they're going to, like the first 15, 20 minutes yesterday, it looks like they're going to do something. And in some ways, that's more of a concern, because I think, fuck me, that they're trying and they're still shite. You know what I mean? Like, is it? Like, it's, I'd like to think Nick is right, that we're in a fairly healthier position, that the next man is going to inherit. But I'm not wholly convinced by that. I still think we've got a few problems in the squad. And just, I guess, like, just to, you know, repeat, echo Nick, really, I think, if I was to summarise Ten Hag's reign, I think he's a decent man. For someone who's quite, like, comes across as quite a steady, serious, quite dour man, like, the extreme peaks and troughs are, like, I don't think I've experienced the manager, like, such great highs. You know, that Liverpool game, as Nick said, is one of the great Old Trafford moments ever, you know, and that cup final, again, one of our greatest days out. Yet, like, we've had some really heavy defeats, to our closest rivals, you know, humiliating defeats, which in themselves, you know, in other eras would have got a manager the sack, just those results in themselves. What is it we've lost? We've lost 3-0 at home twice this season, is it?
You yeah.
Know, like, it's really, really poor, you know, and those are, when it goes badly wrong for him, it's really, really bad. And I think, you know, again, it's, I won't repeat what's in the pod later, but, you know, Mark calls out the in-game stuff, which we've said on here before, that I think that to me is the sort of downfall for me, is in-game tactics and changes. You know, he didn't really react, and we saw that yesterday, as it says later on in the pod. But yeah, I think it's I feel a bit sad about it all, to be honest, because I think it is, you know, once again we're in this position, and like we were different to this, weren't we, 10 years ago we always used to claim, and now we're just a merry-go-round of managers like any other club. Just sort of like basically punting at anyone and just keep rolling the dice. I hope they get it right this time. We keep saying this one's a big appointment, but this is really big, isn't it? They've got to get this one right.
Sometimes the exception to the rule is, so Matt and Fergie were the exceptions, not the rule, sadly, at United, much as you want. You know, we have gone for all these managers, and as someone, you know, like, who else has... The paradox is, I agree with you, is that 19 days separated Palace league last season and FA Cup, and that's ultimately Eric. 24 games, you let in 3 goals or more. That's Eric, you know. The thing, someone messaged and said, forgetting the sacking, the most concerning thing about this weekend is just how shit West Ham were and beat us. I thought that was... And on Nick's point, on Ineos making mistakes, I mean, the Rude thing's going to be a bit odd. Maybe he's here for just one game, but the new guy is not going to put up with him for very long. So it's like, again, they've gone all in, which I'm not going hindsight, because I wanted Eric to stay to see the what ifs. They've been answered. But if Rude departs next week, it just makes it a very odd.
I was going to start by having a go and saying, promises this would be done in 20 minutes.
Sorry.
To watch the Penguin, and now I've added another 2 minutes to it by fucking around to get off the end. I mean, I agree with a lot of what's been said really already. You know, I think sort of sad really. I liked Eric, but it had become inevitable. I don't think it was any shock, as Nathan said. You know, just so many poor results, so many damning statistics. You know, the lowest goals other than Southampton, 3 years running at West Ham. You could write a book just on the statistics alone, really. although, you know, interesting what you just said there, Barney, that, you know, they, Fergie and Matt Busby being the exception rather than the rule. You know, I think 18 of the 20 league titles came from those two managers and 30 out of the 40 odd trophies that we've won, I read earlier. So, you know, that's obviously something to bear in mind. But, you know, as I said in the column this month, I think the Tottenham game for me was a turning point, really, as it was for a lot of match goers. And I think, you know, although he's got a stay of execution after that, you know, neither the results or performances really improved significantly in that period. Obviously, listening to what the lads are saying there about Ineos, and I think it's fair to say that was, you know, in hindsight now, a mistake in the summer. But if they do get this Amorim thing done so quickly, I would say that I'm impressed that they've appeared to move quickly and decisively on that one. You know, I think that's a stark contrast to the lack of a plan after Jose and Ollie were sacked. So, you know, the fact that they have got something lined up, I think, does sort of bode well, rather than, you know, really didn't want to go down the sort of rude interim route over a prolonged period and obviously what happened with Ollie. And in terms of the release clause, I mean, again, taking on board Shane's point about the, you know, the context of it in terms of they've been getting rid of the rank and file staff, so I get that. But, you know, if you put it in the scheme of things, you know, with the amount of money we've spent on good players over the years, I think it's 10 million to get him out of Sporting and 13 million pound for Eric. You know, 23 million if you get the right manager, I think is kind of peanuts in a way. When you think of what we spend on players and how important the right manager can potentially be. But I think going back to Ten Hag, for me, really his inability to sort of adapt his style, or whether that was inability or stubbornness or unwillingness, was ultimately his undoing. You know, his tactics that may have worked in Holland in a lesser league, you know, which clearly weren't working here. Everyone could see that. We were too easy to play against, and goal scoring was an issue, you know, throughout his tenure, really. So, and those issues were never addressed. As others have said, there were some great moments, you know, and I don't think anyone can take away his place in United's history in terms of winning two trophies. And, you know, as others have said, last year's cup run, I think, was one of the greatest ever. You know, if you look at the games that went in that run, the Liverpool and the games in particular. But ultimately, if you look at, you know, just the cold light of day, the league position and whether we're any closer to challenging for a title, let alone winning one, two and a bit years into his you know, his reign, and I think we're probably further away, if anything. Although I would kind of agree with what Nick was saying, that I do think that the playing squad and the overall culture around the place, although, you know, many would probably disagree with that, is probably better than it was when he arrived. So I think that, you know, there are, if you were to look other than the two trophies, it does feel to me that kind of culture and probably the playing squad are in a slightly better position. And I would agree with Shane that I don't think that they have down tools on him, or did down tools on him. But ultimately, that's probably even more damning for his kind of tactics and coaching, that it didn't seem to be a case of them just not trying. They just didn't know what they were doing at the time. And obviously, the confidence that comes from that was a factor in the end. But in terms of the new guy, I think, you know, as Barney sort of said at the beginning, as a football fan, you know, you have to have hope. I think with Eric, we'd entered that sort of death cycle where the hope had gone. You know, you knew it was just a matter of time, and it's difficult to kind of get yourself up for the games and when that's the sort of situation you're in. So, you know, at least with the new fella, if it is going to be Amorim, then, you know, there is renewed hope. You know, that rinse and repeat can be draining, but there is also an excitement of a new manager, and, you know, who knows, one day we do have to get that right. So maybe it'll be this one. And if someone hasn't got a song going around, that's Amorim. By this week, then I'll be disappointed.
Well, we've got to at least surely have 90 minutes of Ruud van Nistelrooy. Poor sod. I know he's a Machiavellian figure, but he deserves that.
Leicester's just going to be the Ruud fest, innit, so we can at least enjoy that.
Well, Nick's been targeting, like, manically Leicester in the League Cup for about a month on here, so they better be fucking up for it. Hello, Coggy.
Hiya. Yeah, I mean, obviously the lads have said everything, really, but the one thing that worries me about this whole thing is that I think it's weak management by Ineos. If they believe that Ten Hag was the right person in the summer, and you can argue whether that's right or wrong, then they should still be sticking by him. You know, because even if the result's not going well, you know, they brought new players in, the new backroom staff and everything. and they should persevere and you know, try and ride this out. If they didn't think he was the right person, then they should have got rid of him in the summer. And I'm just worried about Ineos are not capable of actually taking us to where we want to be. You know, and I think that falls on the, you know, with Ratcliffe. Maybe he's making more decisions than we realise, as far as the playing thing is concerned. But yeah, I mean, for me, I think just going back to what Nathan said, I think these signings in the summer weren't Ten Hag signings. I think they were the committee signings, which was Ashworth and Wilcox. So I don't think you can blame. I don't think you can say a new manager's coming in with Ten Hag signings, you know, when you take into account the summer ones. But yeah, it's going to be a struggle. You know, I've got no idea what this new manager's like if we do take him. But what you've got to remember is that in 12 months, 18 months' time, Marcus Rashford will be getting a testimonial, or entitled testimonial. He's seen off four managers and an interim manager, and he's still earning £300,000 a week. And fundamentally, I think that's what's the problem with Manchester United at the moment. It's still the players.
How did you feel on the news, Coggy?
Well, I had a phone call, actually. I was happily driving along the motorway, listening to Classic FM, and I had a phone call from somebody to tell me that he'd been sacked. I was shocked, Barney, because you told me it was going to happen in the international break.
Yeah, I did think
so. You did, so I was a bit shocked. But I understand why it's today, if that's the decision, because we've got four key games we've seen now in the international break. Particularly the one in Europe, and obviously the two league games, probably less so on Wednesday night. So I can understand if they've said he's not the man. You know, let's do it now as opposed to waiting for the international break. But it's going to be the same. It's the players. You know, some of those players are very good. Others are fucking clueless. Dello being the obvious one. They haven't got a brain.
Well, what didn't come through from yesterday is after we stopped recording and when we were on the packed train afterwards, you were making this point repeatedly that there's a basic lack of footballing intelligence in that side, and you were making points on how many times we've seen it.
Yeah, so we see it time and time again. The very last kick of that match yesterday, right, was we were on the attack, 2-1 down. It's their captain, and Bruno decided to put the fucking ball in row Z in a stand instead of chipping it into the box where I play. I mean, that's coming from a guy who was our captain, our leader, and supposed to be talented. And he put it miles over the bar. Dallo, we all know Dallo is clueless. You know, to a certain extent, Ahmad, you know, is exactly the same. But yeah, it's just we just don't think about it, or they don't think about it. And I do think we have a lot of players who lack football intelligence.
But getting joy from watching the academy team, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the one. The under-18s in particular, but you know, I love going to watch the under-21s in this EAF trophy and all that sort of stuff. But the under-18s this season have been absolutely amazing. I think their goal difference is plus 28. They've won 7 out of 7 league games. They've got some very, very talented kids. And, you know, it annoys me that Manchester United fans are saying, Ahmad should be in the team now and everything. You know, he's not ready. You know, these lads are very good, but they're not ready for the first team, although some United fans will think they are. But, yeah, there's some talented kids there. And this new lad we've got from Arsenal, I mean, he's a monster of a lad. I mean, you know, he's big, he's aggressive, you know, he's direct, good in the air, good with his feet. You know, he looks an interesting one. But, good football.
This is one for us to debate in the coming weeks and the pubs and that. But, you know, you mentioned that there's a style of play from the, you know, that, and you think if that's coming from the club, obviously Eric was trying or he wasn't the stick to the process, and he didn't. But it's a complicated one because Ineos say, you know, we want to set up a style of play, but ultimately it comes down to winning games of football, whether you like it as the purest me wanting to see attack, attack, attack. But, you know, like, so you can sort of see, like, a young manager is better operated as to operating in the bigger system than, say, Tuchel would be wanted control again. Laurie from The Athletic made the point, what Coggy alluded to, is that, you know, there were lots of meetings at the last international break where they were all cross swords over some saying he should go, some, and that's a worry, because you've got, I thought they would have, you know, the marginal gains thing, is you have a clear set of who's in the leadership structure and who, so it should be, you know, you've got to get the efficiency. I think it's way too early to judge, apart from fucking get the Glazers out, we want the pathway. But I do agree with Ben, you know, people have put today, sorry, I'll go on over time, but people have put today, you know, these players have seen another manager off. Now, this is totally different. Look at the changes of the personnel and that toxic dressing room of 2-3 years ago. But equally, there's a lot of culpability on these players, and how many are good enough, how many got. And I'm going to I'll go final points to each of you in reverse, Coggy, Ben, but also loves and hates. My love is we might actually see Ugarte and see if he's good enough. That's a love. My hate is we went to a pub, Shane led me astray last night, and blaming him for my Monday grumpiness. And United being, because I just want us to fucking win. I want managers to succeed. I don't want to be immersed in all the politics. Is we went to a pub, The Rocket, which is a pretty shit old, you'll know it, by Euston. And they had the Formula One on, and people were going, ooh, oh, ooh, as if it was a football chant about people taking corners in the Formula One. And me and Shane were absolutely both apoplectic and disgusted at the same time. Coggy, any final thoughts and loves and hates?
Interestingly, Jamie Carragher, it was interesting what you said about Sky Sports. It's been, you know, all about United sacking Ten Hag. It's been, you know, quite interesting that no other sports has happened in the last 24 hours because of that. Jamie Carragher said on it that he said, you know, Manchester United must be the most pressurised club in the world to manage, but if you get it right, it must be the best. And that was interesting coming from Carragher, and obviously his affiliations to the people who Shane likes to hug. It's true. And I think if we get a manager that gets it right, then it'll be absolutely fantastic. But it's whether that happens or not is a totally different thing.
It will happen one day, Coggy. It will. It's just when, isn't it? It will. United are too big a beast with history, even in the shittiest times. Loves and hates, Coggy?
I mentioned it, you know, to you yesterday. Christmas stuff in the shop. That's my love, not my hate. I love Christmas. And I want to tell everybody now, get your Christmas shopping done in November and October and November, and enjoy December for the beauty of what the Christmas period is.
That poor Puerto Rican prompt to come on the podcast, whose first ever game, poor sod. I wondered what I told Al, but I wonder what he felt like today. Ben?
On final thoughts, you know, obviously just hope now. I think it had to happen with Eric, as we've said, so let's see what this new guy does. We're obviously going to have to give him time, which Jim would have, but let's hope we can start to see some sort of style developing, and I'm sure that there's a bit of entertaining football, because I think, you know, ultimately, whilst Eric sort of tried to attack, the football was pretty boring as well. We conceded lots of goals, but we didn't, yesterday aside, there was the odd game where we'd made a lot of chances, but a lot of games where we didn't. So yeah, let's hope for some decent football at least. Loves autumn. One for Nick there.
Autumnal.
One for lovely run yesterday morning. Crisp autumn leaves under my feet. Sun shining. I was in a great mood until the game. But anyway, hate. I had to go back to work today after a week off. 135 emails to get through. Miserable. And then came home when my 4-year-old had been drawing all over the walls.
Oh. We've all been there, mate. We've all been there. I hope it was good art, though.
Do you know what it was? So she'd been drawing X's on the walls. Like, so I said to her, after I told her off and taken her upstairs, I said, why did you do it? And she said, because X marks the spot.
Very good. Quick thinking. Shane?
I think I've done my hates.
Yeah, sorry.
The only one to add is that I just got Sky Sports on the background. I rarely watch it, and they're just on loop.
Yeah,
they've got Eric Ten Hag walking across the pitch in that dodgy suit, in the rain against Arsenal. And I thought, like, they give people no dignity, do they, the bastards? They just, like, you know, get past him in his worst possible Doomsville light. So that's a bit of a hate. I guess my love is, like, just despite all the problems with football and the way we're treated, like, I know we say this again and again, but yesterday, like, before having a couple of pints, you know, with my son, having a chat with him and some of the Irish Reds that come over, I had a couple of pints with them, seeing Coggy, Paul, you know, Mark, others, a few Reds in the pub after, it like, what goes around the game, I kind of woke up this morning and thinking, like, even though it's the most awful result and frustrating, the manager's getting sacked, but we somehow still had sort of like a great, lovely day. And just to add to the Formula One thing, in the pub, there was actually a full-size, life-size cutout of a Formula One driver. I don't know enough about it to tell you who he was. It was very bizarre. They were literally cheering, like, goals.
We should have set it on fire.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could take you for a drive with Coggy if you want that sort of thing.
I will say, Shane just listed about 50 people and I wasn't on it. And I spent all night with him. I wonder...
You're given. I wonder if
Eric's jackets are now cheaper on eBay. I'm going to have a look. Hello, Nick.
Nick, turns up. But Shane, you've not mentioned the big achievement from yesterday.
And I'm not going to mention it either.
He's shaking his head there. Now I'm intrigued. Take it offline, lads. Nick.
Well, to be fair, it's no wonder that Shane didn't mention you, because he did send a picture at about midnight saying that he was being held against his will, so I'll leave that one there. Final thought, really, is just if Anarim is the guy and you really thought that he was the option, he was available in the summer, go and get him. You know, he's shopping around, being interviewed by clubs, if you liked him that much, go and get him. If you were that unsure on Eric, then go and get him. But I just think it's going to be weird, because he's going to need time to bring his own coaching staff in. I mean, the Van Nistelrooy stuff is going to be really strange, because obviously they were already forward planning, as we called that months ago, didn't we, that we thought this would happen, he'd get sacked before Christmas and Rude would come in for caretaker. But I mean, my reservations on him, if he hit the guy as well, and obviously it's not confirmed yet at this time of recording, he's 39. I mean, that's not that old, that's 4 years older than me, sorry to not make everyone feel well up, but he's 39. I mean, that is just, that's crazy young. I remember when Vias Boas got made manager and he was 44 in the Premier League, everyone was like, oh God, he's young. And I know that guy from Brighton's 31 as well, but I mean, these managers are getting younger and younger now. I mean, he's won a poor league, just like Eric has done as well. So I don't feel right at it. My love of the week, I'm going to have to put it down as Eric. I think we should remember the good times. We have two very, very, very good days out at Wembley. And obviously we had that crack against Liverpool. I'll be watching those two games over and over again, that 4-3 and the City Cup 5 up for the rest of my life, because they were just two brilliant days. So, and then the hate of the week was just not being there yesterday in the Cock Tavern, because West Ham away is a great trip, and it was a shame it was on a Sunday. If it wasn't, I'd have come down with you. But yeah, definitely that, because that's a great one for you. So.
It goes back, you know, I don't want to put the fear of God into, but the eating managers, and when, you know, a 39-year-old, bloody hell, he's got to have cajonis as big as fucking Statue of Liberty, really. Yeah, but let's see.
But Barney, that's what we need. I think, you know, Nick mentioned about the two cup wins, and I can understand that, but we need a manager to come in, right, irrespective of his background and everything, but that's not good enough, two cup wins. You know, it's been competing for to win the league and stuff like that. So we need somebody who's got
yeah. No, but that's what I mean. I totally agree with you, but whether he has... right, so well, Ben's desperate to get to his penguin, which is Nathan's gone.
Just before Nathan comes in, every time Nick talks about Eric tonight, talking about remember, this is how we need to remember him. He's been sacked, Nick, he hasn't died. Just remind him.
Nathan.
I'm just not ready to let go.
I sadly let go after Spurs. He lost me then. Sorry, Eric.
If it is this hammering, then I'm excited about it. My only concern I'm not concerned about him because I think, like he says, he's been courted around with some with other clubs who are in a lot better position than we are at the moment. So I do think it is a bit of a coup if we do get him. You know, because he's been spoken about possibly being Pep's successor. So my because of their director of football is going over to City, isn't it, at the end of this season and stuff. So my only concern is until it's been confirmed is hopefully this isn't him just sounding City out, hoping to see whether they want him or not. So that's not to put a down on it, but I want it to be done so that we know that that's not the case. I think by the sounds of it, Liverpool were decided against him because he wants to play free at the back, and essentially they were like, well, that's not what we do. So that's why they didn't go for him. And apparently I did see that he did speak to West Ham, and that was also a sort of sounding out for Liverpool to see whether they were interested in stuff. So, but I think, you know, we see, like Coggy maybe suggested before about, is it the club that's made the signings rather than Ten Hag? We've got a lot of central defenders now, you know, not many of them are in...
to play five at the back.
We could do it. So, you know, maybe there is some sort of forward plan in there that I don't know. Like, I'm excited about it. I think if they go for him, then, you know, it sounds like we've got someone good. And the fact that he's young, apparently he has got a bit of an aura to him that he's like Jose, you know, he is a bit of a, you know, is it like he's got the balls to do it. So I hope so.
We couldn't carry on. There's what a Sporting fans put that he's really funny in interviews. So I thought that would be, you know, that to have that's Eric did have difficulties with the media, but that's second language. But he also looked very dogged. And your loves and hates.
Well, what was the final word that you said before? From ball to beard. In beard we trust.
In beard we trust. Oh, here we go again. Right, loves and hates, Nathan. Thanks to everyone. Take care, everyone listening.
Hate of the week. Sorry for going on. I nipped over to Paris the other day for work, and one of the nights I fell asleep with a window open and I woke up and I'd been absolutely like decimated by mosquitoes, and I react to them really badly. So my hate of the week is mosquitoes. And my love, I don't know, maybe the fact that I was able to go to Paris. I still love that I'm able to go and do all these trips everywhere, so
no, that'd great. Be my love. That's good. Self-love. We like a bit of that here, don't we?
I woke up at like 1 a.m. realising I was being eaten alive by mosquitoes, and I literally turned all the lights on, and it was like that episode, you know, but in Breaking Bad where there's a whole episode where it's literally them just looking for a fly. It was literally that at 2 a.m. in 1 a.m. 2 a.m. in the morning, and me trying to track down these mosquitoes so I could kill them, so I could go back to sleep.
That's metaphorical for I've been looking for the process for the last 6 months, and I've been unable to find. We didn't bloody stick to the process, did we? In the end, Albert got bit loads by mozzies, and they came up as we got back in Ghent. So obviously, this tropical October's fucking. I agree, they're bastards. If only we'd stuck to the process. Thank you, Eric, for the memories. Good luck, mate. But it had to end. Thanks for doing this, lads. Let's not do an emergency one for a very... The next emergency one were when we've won the title because fuck knows we've beaten someone the night before and we're celebrating early. When that will be, fuck knows. Take care, lads. And thanks for Nathan selling the mag on Wednesday, people. And then we're back on Sunday. So thanks for support. See why it's led to this. Because the mag precursors it all. Cheers for the support and thanks to these lovely six people in front of me. Well, I'm one of them six. Cheers.